This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Robots and artificial intelligence are playing an increasingly larger role in how we work, live, and play. Some view this as a threat, with automation eliminating jobs and making human workers obsolete. Others say robots will simply shift demand in the workforce, increase productivity, and enhance the quality of our lives. Tomorrow evening, as part of its 6 at 6 lecture series, the Scripps Howard Center for Civic Engagement at Northern Kentucky University will present a lecture on how robots can be used for positive change. And joining us to discuss how robots in the workplace and in our homes will continue to change our lives are Northern Kentucky University Department of Communication Associate Professor Dr. Austin Lee and Adjunct Professor Ann Thompson, and from the Scripps Howard Center for Civic Engagement at NKU, Assistant Director Colette Thompson. You can join us 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Colette, Austin, and Ann, thank you all for being here today. Good to see everybody.
You're good welcome. To see you.
Thank you for having us.
And Austin, you brought a friend with you too, I see here. The Coconut?
Yes.
Okay.
Hello, Radio World. My name is Coconut, and I am a humanoid robot. I am 2 feet tall and weigh 9 pounds and a half. I live and work with Dr. Austin Lee of Northern Kentucky University. I am thrilled to be here with you on Cincinnati Edition. Dr. Lee and I study human and robot interaction. Mostly, we work on positive social change with robots, like me. I am learning rules of social interactions so that I can persuade people to quit smoking, eat healthy food, drink more water, work out more often, and live a health life, etc. I hope to be more intelligent and sociable so that I can help more people in the future.
Okay, so that's Coconut.
Yes, he is.
Tell us a little bit more about him. Describe him a little bit more. You say he's about 2 feet tall. Okay.
So he's a tiny robot, but he is humanoid. He has arms and legs. He can walk on his own. He has 2 eyes, as you can see, but those are actually LED in the screens. The actual eyes are on the forehead and on the nose. So 2 HD cameras, and he has 4 microphones so that it can locate the source of the sound. He understands natural language. And he can speak many different languages, well, 25 different languages.
25
so
different languages?
Wow. Yes.
Okay. And then the speakers that we're hearing the sound come out, those are on the side of his head?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And you've used him in your teaching at Northern Kentucky University.
Yes. I offered a class titled Social Robotics. And, well, my students were working on this robot to create a new application of social robot. For example, NKU Campus Ambassador Robot, a library robot that helps the patrons to locate the materials, an interpreter robot that can translate English to Spanish and Spanish to English back, and also health coach robot.
He talked about helping people to quit smoking. Can a robot like this be used to help maybe in the opioid crisis that we face in our area as far as getting people to stop using substances?
Yes, absolutely. With some research that we conducted, we found that robots can effectively persuade humans, and that could be useful or effective when working with certain epidemics such as the heroin epidemic or natural disaster work.
So we believe that, you know, having the power of persuasion is really important in building sociable and intelligent robot. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, persuasion can give robot, you know, many different benefits. For example, robot can work more effectively and efficiently with people. So nowadays, you know, people started working with robot in teams and, you know, in teamwork, well, team building and collaboration, persuasion is a necessary skill. Mm-hmm. At the same time, robot can earn credibility and build trust with people. So, for example, when we use a disaster robot, well, the robot needs to persuade disaster victims to follow the important instructions. Mm-hmm. So it needs to build some credibility.
Yeah, absolutely. Also with like fundraising, with disaster, like that's happening right now in Puerto Rico and Las Vegas, it's possible that the robot could persuade people to, you know, fundraise or donate blood or whichever.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this a stock robot, Austin, or did you actually build this particular robot?
I'm not a mechanical engineer, so this is stock robot, and okay. There are more than 5,000 of this robot used in many different, you know, academic industries and academia's industries in more than 27 countries.
And he's got a humanoid shape. We have to kind of explain, really, robots come in all different shapes and forms, mm-hmm. and even extend into artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm. So some people do have fear about artificial intelligence and robot. I had a chance to conduct a national survey, having 15,000 people on the sample, and we found that 26% of U.S. population report a higher level of fear toward AI and robots. And there are some demographic factors: females, minority people, people with lower income, and people with lower education are more afraid of robots, probably because they can take jobs away from them. So, when we use robot for persuasion, one of the challenges we have is, some people are so scared of the robot, they don't want to interact with the robot. So I think making the robot a humanoid shape and also cute is really important, mm-hmm. so that, it can have some cute appeals to the audiences, mm-hmm. and it can be more persuasive.
Approachable, yeah.
And how common are intelligent and sociable robots becoming?
Very common. They're, very much so in our social world right now. Across overseas in Japan, there are robots that I think Dr. Lee had one tried to sell him a cruise package one time.
Yes.
We've got to hear that story.
And another robot example is, there is a hotel in Silicon Valley using mm-hmm. robots as butlers. So it is robotic butler, so they named it Butler. So it makes room deliveries, it can bring you towels. You know what is the best thing about this robot? You don't have to tip the robot.
You have people like Elon Musk and Stephen Hawking and Bill Gates who are warning about the robotics and warning about artificial intelligence. And I just wonder what each of you, what your thoughts are on that. Anne?
With artificial intelligence and the future of that, mm-hmm. like with the fear that's involved?
They're warning that artificial intelligence is not a good thing. I wonder what you think about that, what your position is.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's some fear out there that robots will take over our jobs because they are so efficient and effective. But
at the same time, robots can create new jobs, new markets. And, one of the reasons I'm offering a class on social robotics is to train students to get ready for future job market. And also, it is true that robots can be used for negative things. It can just mm-hmm. take away our jobs. But at the same time, it gives us more opportunity. And as a social researcher, we are interested in using robots for positive changes. So mm-hmm. robot can help you, eat healthy, work out more regularly, and stay away from smoking. So all kinds of good stuff.
When the robot tried to sell you, tell us about that experience.
Honestly speaking, I was surprised. I didn't expect to meet a robot in the hotel lobby. But, if you go to Japan, you can see the robot in places like AT&T or Verizon, So the robot will greet you, remember you, and try to sell you, data packages and plans and things mm-hmm. like that. So it is a very common in other places, and I think, United States will catch up with the trend. And whenever new technology comes out, people use it for persuasion. For example, when printing was available, people started making flyer. Mm-hmm. When TV and radio were available, people used it for commercial. When internet and email came out, people used it for banner advertisement and spam mails. So now the robot will be available in the future, and I'm thinking that, people will be using robot for, promotion and persuasion. So I think in the near future, you may run into a robot at Kroger trying to, give you some free samples and recommending you some healthy recipe.
Sure.
So samples from a robot someday. What do you think in terms of what do you say to reassure people, though, who talk about I could lose my job to automation, I could lose my job to a robot? How do you reassure them?
I think that work is a very large part of our daily lives. It gives us a type of purpose, and that, you know, creates that fear. But it could open us up, as Dr. Lee said, to a whole different way to organize as robots take over maybe the jobs we have currently. Like, what does that open us up to for the future?
Especially if we have intelligent social robot at home as personal robot, household robot. Robot will be staying with us 24/7, and robot can, you know, reminding me, well, Austin, you have to work out more often. Austin, it's time to eat some salad, no meat. So maybe it can help us to become healthier people.
Yeah.
And maybe, well, it can encourage us to do good, like, you know, donating money to public radio, right? And being more generous to other people. Mm-hmm. So I think a robot in the future can, you know, help us become better people.
And plus, robots can be used to do dangerous jobs.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I think they've been used in that role for a number of years already.
Mm-hmm.
That is very true. In many different areas, in military, well, they get rid of the bombs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the rescue robots, they can help disaster victims in many different areas. But as social researchers, we are more interested in using robots in communicating with people and persuading people and making some positive changes in our society.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're in the communications department, both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because of that persuasive element that's why you're studying robotics, the communication side of things?
Yeah, absolutely. Because Dr. Lee did a previous research study on how humans are fearful of robots, we thought that it would be interesting to see if we could kind of transition that, if robots are coming more into our reality in our future, how can we better prepare for that new environment by...
We don't have crystal balls, so we don't know whether the future with robots will be positive or negative. But I think as social scientists, our role and responsibility is to predict what is coming in the future and trying to make it as positive as possible.
Now, Carla, tell us about the event that 6 at 6 is having tomorrow.
So the event will be held tomorrow at the Mercantile Library in downtown Cincinnati. The program begins at 6 o'clock. And it will go until 7:30. Folks will have an opportunity to engage directly with Dr. Lee and Coconut. Tickets are $6 a person. They can be purchased online at 6@at6.nku.edu. And if they don't have time to purchase them online, they can show up at the library and purchase them at the door.
Mm-hmm. I think this is the first time I've ever had a robot as a guest on the show. Yeah, it's definitely the first time I've ever had a robot as a guest on the show. You also work with another robot. I wonder if you'd tell us about that one. Pineapple?
Yes, Pineapple. That's who we did some of our research with. He is
basically iPad on a Segway. So he has screen, and screen has animated face.
Mm-hmm. So he's mobile. He can actually...
He's
okay.
Mobile.
Okay.
Yes.
Which is... very shocking to some people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't look like a human. But, we found that, humanoid robots are more approachable and cuter.
Mm-hmm.
So they can be, better persuader. Yeah, mm-hmm. And they have better potential, for influencing people.
Now, how aware are people of the robots and the artificial intelligence that already exists? Or is it just something that we kind of, it's there, but we just take it for granted at this point?
Hmm. I don't know how. Maybe, I think Dr. Lee has started this robotics environment at NKU, and kind of that's putting robots out there. So maybe it's not as
As Anne said, we are still at not very much infancy in terms of having robots in our daily lives. But I think he's going to be very popular in the near future. For example, in Japan, he has his brother called Pepper. Pepper is 4 feet tall, much more like humanoid. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the price of Pepper is $1,600, cheaper than my laptop. So they sold Pepper last year, and the first 2,000 units of Pepper were sold within 1 minute.
2,000?
Yeah, 2,000 units of paper sold in 1 minute.
At a price of $1,600
yes.
each.
Oh, but you still have to pay subscription, so there is a catch. Yeah, but it's still very affordable. So I think, well, since now the robot is getting more intelligent and sociable and capable, mm-hmm. more and more households and businesses will be adopting robot. And, mm-hmm. well, as we explained previously, there are lots of opportunities for the robot in many industries, including retails and service industries. So I'm sure that, well, we will get to see robots like Coconut or Pepper or Pineapple in near future.
Mm-hmm. And Anne, Colette, this sounds like this is going to be a really interesting topic.
Absolutely. We're excited to have it. And the topic was brought to us by a student last year from computer science who was one of our lecturers who said, you have to have
you
Dr.
Have to do
Lee.
This.
And we bounced it off of some of our regulars who come to the series, and people are very excited about it. So we're excited to have it as the kickoff lecture for the season.
That's a good one. How do students react to this?
They were very, very excited to play with the robot. Many of them were grown up watching TV series like Transformers. Yeah, I was growing up watching TV series like Knight Riders in old school.
A lot of our ideas about robots and automation came from TV and from the media. Mm-hmm. And they're not always the most accurate perceptions.
Yes, and they are thrilled about the idea of playing with the robot in the beginning. And at the end of the semester, they realize the potential of the robot as social agent and how mm-hmm. we can influence other people's attitudes and behaviors, belief, using the power of persuasion through robots. Mm-hmm. So that was a very rewarding moment for me to teach in a social robotics class.
Okay. Does Coconut have anything else to say?
I wanted to introduce some of the student project from the previous semester. Mm-hmm. But I think Coconut is not feeling well. He's not responding.
Is he feeling a little shy perhaps right now?
Yeah, he's not catching any Wi-Fi signals at this point, to be honest. So I wish I could show you more an example from Coconut, but maybe you can see them all in the lecture tomorrow, 6 at 6.
Absolutely. Okay, and what's the website again?
So it's 6 at 6, sixatsix.nku.edu.
Okay. Colette, Austin, Anne, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Northern Kentucky University Department of Communication Associate Professor Dr. Austin Lee and Adjunct Professor Anne Thompson, and from the Scripps Howard Center for Civic Engagement at NKU, Assistant Director Colette Thompson.